On today's show, we are looking ahead to Cavs-Bucks, talking about Jaren Allen's injury again, and more. Thanks again for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. I'm Chris Manning. I cover the Cavs and the NBA large for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. That man is Evan Damerel. Subscribe to Write Down Euclid on Substack. Check him out at Fear the Sword as well. Today's show, we are going to dive into Cavs Bucks, which should mark the return of Donovan Mitchell, and also what the Bucks present as a challenge, also the losing streak part of it. Segment two, we're going to talk a lot about the Jared Allen injury, where that's at, what it was at a practice and media availability on Tuesday. In segment three, we're going to do way too early Cavs awards. I have three that I have pulled. Things we'll talk about. One, two are awards. One is like someone making an all blank team, but we'll discuss that coming up here. But a quick bit of housekeeping. You will not see me on the show Thursday, Friday, Monday, back Tuesday after Cavs Hawks. I will not be at that game, but I will be back. I'm just going on vacation, take a little break. Evan will be in charge for a couple days. Evan, please don't burn the podcast down while I'm gone.
Oh, I won't burn it down, but if you listen to yesterday's show, you'll also know that Chris actually isn't going on vacation. He's going offshore to settle some stuff with the Locked On Cavs accounts. You know, it's hard when you're the first quintillionaire podcast. You're going to buy Twitter when it's absolutely at rock bottom and Evan, just turn it into a safe space.
Well, just so you know, if I get investigated by the IRS, I'm sending you all my bills.
I mean, the IRS, if they're listening, I respect you as an institution. And don't hurt Chris. He got a new haircut and he's wearing glasses.
I mean, I'm always wearing glasses. All right, but Evan, let's look ahead to Cavs Bucks. Let's start with Donovan Mitchell because he did practice on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He is likely to play. It seems like he had that ankle strain that he suffered last week, obviously, and hurt. Go back to the Celtics game, he hurt it in head and ankle. He's picked up just some little ankle issues. Dean Wade did not participate, and Jaren Allen did not as well. We're going to, again, discuss Allen in full there, but Evan, Donovan Mitchell being back, I think, just makes this more interesting in a lot of different ways. It helps a lot. It just helps. So this is obviously the biggest deal, out of anything, that Mitchell is back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wouldn't know if he's 100% back. Like, I saw reports, like, after practice that he's likely to play. And, like, now he practiced, I would assume he's a game-time decision. There's no official word on the injury report quite yet, so we'll see. But we'll see what happens. I mean, like you said, if he does play, it's going to be a shot in the arm for the Cavs offensively. I think he's been by and far Cleveland's MVP up to this point this season. And you saw last season what happened when Darius Garland was kind of put on an island and forced to create for everybody on the Cavs. Drew Holiday put him in hell in the cell for not 48 minutes, pretty damn close to it. And you don't really want a repeat of that if you're the Cavs. I think if you want to relieve as much defensive pressure from Holiday or possibly anybody else Milwaukee throws at them as well, with Caris LeVert and Donovan Mitchell, it's going to be beneficial. And more than anything, I just think live ball reps between Garland and Mitchell, whenever you can get them, are just paramount for this team's overall success. And you just got to kind of find space when you can. And if it's against arguably the best team in the NBA, so be it.
I mean, if you think about this game in particular, this is a game where Drew Holiday is the lead guard, the main defensive tool for the Bucks. And if you're thinking about a team that only really has Darius Garland initiating things, just the simple fact of having Donovan Mitchell is going to help loosen that up. Just one of them is going to get a defender who are they able to attack a little more directly, create open looks, all of that stuff. It's going to make them function better against a team that has a guy like Drew Holiday at the point of attack. And I mean, this Bucks team, it's worth noting, people maybe have seen or heard or watched them a bunch the last couple of years. They have part of their defensive scheme has been not allowing allowing a ton of threes. If you look at what they've done in terms of allowing threes, that has been one of their things. Just take the threes, we'll live and die by them. That's, you know, Grant Williams kind of famously did that to them last year. In terms of frequency from three this year, they are giving up, like, you know, currently the third fewest threes per game in the league at 32.1%. The league average is at 35.4%. For comparison, the Cavs are giving up just under average at 34.3% of the shots they've given up have been threes. So the Bucks have kind of changed their defensive style. The Cavs, in terms of frequency, you know, as we know, are not a team that are leading the 3-point revolution, so to speak, in terms of how many threes they're hoisting up. They're a little below league average, but this will be a different look than the Cavs will see. And I'm curious to see how they adapt it. I'm curious to see, like, you know, if this is a game where Caris LeVert could kind of get hot and play right and kind of operate in the middle of the floor, if Mitchell and Garland can hit those pull-ups, if Mobley can find offensive success in the middle of the floor and towards the rim, particularly without a Jared Allen. There's a way that maybe isn't totally stringent in affecting the Cavs, but it's something I think to watch, is how the Bucks go about defending the Cavs and how that is different from how they've seen them in the past.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be a different look for the Cavs, clearly, just because this is Milwaukee. I know GB Bickerstaff called this another game at the end of the day, and but there is going to be some significance with it, because if you're the Cavs, you've beaten Boston twice, who's arguably the second best team in the Eastern Conference, and if you are coming off this 4-game losing streak, you want to kind of maybe cleanse your palate and then continue to claim your stake that you're a team that's ascending in the East. And I think a better tone setter is against Milwaukee, who does provide a lot of interesting matchups, like you said, especially defensively, because they have adapted. They used to be a very drop coverage heavy scheme, just the product of Mike Budenholzer teams of the past, where he was comfortable with teams bombing away from three. As you may know, the Cavs ruined the Atlanta Hawks multiple times in the playoffs in the second LeBron era under Mike Budenholzer's tenure. So it's good to see Budenholzer adapt. I think Brook Lopez, younger brother of Robin Lopez on the Cavs, has turned back the clock a little bit, especially after having back surgery, and he's becoming like a defensive player of the year type player. And Milwaukee is just going to be a fascinating matchup stylistically. I think, like you said, it's a lot of different looks that they can throw at Garland, possibly Mitchell, Caris LeVert, like on the perimeter. Then you have Giannis on the interior, who's Giannis in general, who's so multifaceted as a defensive player. And then you have Lopez, you have Bobby Portis, who, you know, isn't as good defensively as Lopez, but is still pretty good and more so of an offensive monster. Like, this is such a lot of interesting individual tests that the Cavs will face on both ends of the floor. And they really are going to have to show their mettle out there and, again, reclaim that stake that, yeah, we're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference at the end of the day, even if we're only less than 20 games into the season.
Were you referencing, trying to say that one of the Lopez's was born slightly before the other because they're twins? So you're trying to say that, like, Brooke was, like, who was born second there? Is that what you're getting at in terms of younger?
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of twinning thing. Like, oh, we're born like 30 seconds apart, but I'm technically the older sibling, so it's like interesting little stuff like that.
Okay, just keeping our toes. Wait, Evan, would you start Lamar Stevens in this game if assuming things have gone that Jared Allen will not play in this game?
See, that's an interesting question. I know I see a lot of people saying, oh, they should start Robin Lopez at the five, and I think if your JV Bickerstaff, who is a creature of habit, mind you, and let's say Donovan Mitchell wasn't playing, I think you'd see Kevin Love and Lamar Stevens start. But it's a tough question because you're sliding Mobley to the five, and if you're going with those three smalls, maybe you want Kevin Love out there as the starting four just to provide maximum spacing opportunities and a lot of spread pick and roll stuff and things like that, because let's say Jared Allen was out and Dean Wade was available, likely Dean Wade would be the starting four for the Cavs tomorrow night. So maybe you want to kind of stylistically copy a lot of that, where you have three ball handlers you can use. Mobley is a pick and roll, lob threat, dive man, and also Love is a pick and pop partner, and also a roll partner every now and then because he can dunk it. As Darius Garland says, it's more of like a smush than a smash or a slam or anything like that, but I would personally start Lamar Stevens, but I think Kevin Love just makes more sense for what Cleveland maybe is trying to achieve, and especially because Milwaukee is a hostile environment. It's hard to play there, especially against a very good team like that, against the Bucks. You maybe want to build some positive momentum early on offense and kind of maybe get Garland and Mitchell comfortable out there too. So I think Love makes sense, but kind of keep him on a keep an eye on his minutes as well, and maybe mix more Lamar Stevenson to the fold as well.
I think I would go Lamar just because I think if you start if you're gonna start everything else the same, it's Garland, Mitchell,
LeVert,
and then Mobley. You're changing your defense. You basically have to have Evan Mobley guard Giannis one on one. If you start Kevin Love, you cannot have Kevin Love or Caris LeVert like take that on. Like, and I'm not saying Lamar is going to do like a lockdown job there. Like, he's probably going to get pulverized, but Mobley can at least play help defense in the same way you kind of ask him to. He can cover space that way. He will certainly get opportunities defending Giannis. But I think like structurally, it kind of makes more sense to me to go that way with Lamar. We'll see again. Cavs, we'll see if they snap that the 4-game losing streak in Milwaukee. Should be a fun game. I will be watching that when I get back. Okay, after this break, we're going to come back, dive into the Jared Allen injury, what it means, where that's at. But first, Evan has an ad read for us.
It's a new sponsor today, folks. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace, and with Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip, get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday, or you can find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget or just need to get from A to B, or when you're in Australia, you can rent a ute and get to Bendigo, no problem. So test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits your everyday life as well, and many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring car rentals and find your drive at Turo.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Can we pause the pod for a second? Okay, we're paused. Great. Because you got to try this. I'm talking about Built Bar's new reimagined flavors. They have the cookie dough. They have coconut brownie. They have white chocolate peppermint granola, which is still Built's take on the granola bar, so it's more filling and still insanely tasty. And the candy cane brownie and the candy cane brownie puff. Built puffs, by the way, are like biting into the universe's most delicious cloud. And look, if you haven't tried Built bars before, they're literally the best tasting protein bars ever. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know it with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly low sugar and calories, just 130 calories. Wow. Sink your teeth into that. You will enjoy it. I'm not kidding. There will be a time before you try these new Built flavors. And then awesome times afterwards. And look, you're probably wondering which ones are my favorite, Evan's favorite. It's a hard question to answer. They're all great. So if you're trying to want to try them, check out a mix box and try all 5 of the flavors for yourself of these new ones. I mean, cookie dough is pretty great. I ordered some for myself. So you got to try these. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 at built.com. Again, get 15% off your order right now by using the promo code LOCKEDON15 at built.com. Okay, back here in Locked On Cavs, I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damerol. Let's discuss Jared Allen. So, Evan, he has an ankle issue, an ankle strain. It is being discussed. He did not. You were at practice, Tuesday. You relate to me that he did not practice. He's probably not traveling with the team, so he's probably not going to play if he can't be in Milwaukee. Evan, what was said publicly at practice on Tuesday about what's going on with Jared Allen?
Nothing, really. let's just be frank. Nothing. Nothing at all. So JB Bickerstaff was just asked at the top during his media availability, like, hey, did Donovan practice? Yes. Did Dean practice? No. And then I couldn't hear it, so I asked a second time, did Jared practice? No, he did not. And for me, just scanning the facility in general at Cleveland Clinic Courts on Tuesday when we're recording this, Jarrett was nowhere to be seen, and I saw Donovan Mitchell, I saw Darius Garland, I saw Neto, I saw Rubio, I saw both Mobleys, I saw Kevin Love, Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert. Like, I saw the majority of the roster out there, Lopez too. So I wonder if Allen was not even in the facility. Maybe he was in the back just rehabbing his ankle. We don't know how serious it is. JB is a coach that probably won't review much. The Cavs are an organization who won't say things unless they absolutely have to, because they'll do right by their players and just... whatever. So there's not really a pertinent update. I think just again, at Sunday's game against the Timberwolves, JB Bickerstaff said this is something he's been dealing with for a while. We had a listener ask, like, hey, is this maybe something that's been going on since the preseason, just because Allen has looked off offensively? And realistically speaking, I think if you're able to weather the storm without him and make sure he's shipshape and upright to finish the season, because Evan Mobley kind of mentioned it during his media availability, you know, he's seldom says much, but when he does make a point. And he said it's better to probably be losing games now than later in the season. And I think the best way to do that,
yeah,
I mean, like, that's a no duh. He kind of laughed because, like, it was just like a no duh kind of answer. But the best way to do that, obviously, is to have your guys fully healthy. And if Allen has had a lingering ankle issue, if it's something that's bothering him, and for perspective, folks, like, I'm an average guy, I'm 5'11", and if my ankle bothered me, I don't know how I'd do it. But if I was 7 foot, 200 plus pounds, and also having to play professional sports like Jared Allen, and I was a team like the Cavs, I would shut it down for a little bit, let him rest, let him recover, and make sure that everything is 100%. Until he gets back out there on the floor. And obviously, we'll see how this goes without him, but I don't think the Cavs would rush him back either way, because they have Evan Mobley as an added luxury at the just playing the five there. But no real update per se. He isn't expected to travel with the team, which has been reported, and we'll see. Maybe there is a change. Maybe he does play tomorrow again. The Cavs have to submit their injury report in 36 minutes as we're recording this, so we'll have a clearer picture hopefully by then of who is and isn't available. But I would just assume that Dean Wade and Jared Allen both are unavailable tomorrow, and obviously Dylan Windler and Ricky Rubio aren't there either. And maybe you see more Mamadou Diakite minutes. Maybe you see Isaiah Mobley get some burn as well.
I mean, I think even beyond those, the two-way guys, I think it's like, okay, that's Lamar minutes. That's, can Okoro build on a good performance the other night and play? I mean, like, it's like, I think, like, you're going to see Robin Lopez play. And I think I'll be curious to see how they deploy him. It's not in, like, how that sort of looks. The Bucks just haven't played Giannis at the five as much so far, so I think that maybe theoretically allows you to kind of sneak in some Lopez minutes, because you're not having to worry about him kind of chasing down Giannis at certain points. I think for Dean Wade as well, considering Dean Wade came out of college with a history of knee issues, his Torres, you know, had the knee injury last year that ended his season.
He had foot issues in college. He had a knee injury last year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he doesn't get drafted because of those foot issues. And that's why he's on it, ends up on a two-way and all that stuff. You have to make sure these guys, I think, are correct. And, like, that is going to be more important than anything else. And with Allen, anything in particular, we saw last year what happens when you don't have him, when the season matters. Evan Mobley saying, like, we need to win games late. That is probably at least somewhat speaking from the idea that last year things went off the rails late. Your season kind of fell apart. You lost in the playing game. You didn't get to maximize a team that could have maybe had home court advantage in the first round, or at the very least been the fifth seed and, like, avoided the play-in. Like, I think you look back at last year, and for them, you probably feel like a little bit like the injuries really took your kneecaps out, and Jared Allen's injury was probably the biggest part of it. I cannot tell you how many conversations I had at the end of last season being like, is Allen going to play? Like, all the stuff going on with him was like, how many people just in my life, like, asking, like, is he going to play? I'm like, I mean, I think he's going to try, but, like, that's just really hard. And there was concerns about, like, could he make his injury worse if he does play? That whole thing was weird. I think you don't want to relive that, and we'll see if, you know, let's see if he's back Friday against Charlotte. Maybe not. Let's see if he plays, you know, Monday against Atlanta. Like, he will have ample time to come back, but I wouldn't be surprised if you don't even see him, like, Friday or something like that, just to give him as much time
full,
as possible,
like,
to rest.
Week off at this point. Plus, you know, let him play Pokemon, so he can just relax and enjoy Scarlet and Violet. But yeah, I agree. It's tough, it's tricky, and being healthy at the end of the season is the hardest thing. Like, I think about how Channing Frye talked about it once, and I think he was talking to Richard Jefferson about it on the Road Trip and podcast, where the playoffs sometimes don't really matter, or even the end of the regular season doesn't even matter as much based on how talented you are. It's just how healthy you are at the end of the day. Like, if you're healthy and able to get to the first round uninhibited, I mean, the Cavs fans should know this best. Like, Kyrie shatters his kneecap in game one, but after he kind of had some knee issues in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Kevin Love. Didn't have Kevin Love that whole playoffs after he gets his shoulder popped out.
Yeah, like, you see what injuries can do and what ramifications they can have, because playoffs are just a completely different monster than the regular season, because these are coaches that will tactically zero in on what your weaknesses are, and if you're missing key components, whether it is a Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving in the past, or right now it's a Jared Allen, or even last year it's Jared Allen, and then Evan Mobley, who was dealing with some issues as well.
And the Ricky Rubio injury was such a punch.
And Darius Garland's back injuries. Like, there's a lot of stuff that just hit the Cavs at the wrong time. And I think if you're them, you want to tread lightly. And obviously, like, they're not rushing and pushing to, like, say this is championship or bust this season, which is the right thing to say. But you also need to be cognizant of the fact that, one, it's the human aspect of things, like you want to do right by your players, but also just organizationally, from a financial side of things, these are investments the organization are making in these players, and you want to make sure you get the most out of your investment. And if they're not healthy and you're rushing them back and they can't constantly keep getting injured, what are we doing here? So there's layers to it. It's like an onion, as Shrek would say, and we'll just kind of keep watching it and monitoring it. Again, when the injury report's out, we'll officially know what happens. But I agree with Chris's point. Don't play him Friday against Charlotte. I think you can definitely afford to rest some guys against the Hornets, and then you kind of look at that back-to-back on Sunday and Monday after that. Maybe Allen sits for one of those, or maybe he plays both of those, because JB's not really a guy that rests one of his players on a back-to-back. So we'll see what happens. But maybe Sunday, Monday is a more realistic path, and you can kind of afford to give Jared Allen just as enough time as he needs to rest his ankle and make sure he feels ship-shape when he's back on the floor.
All right, one more break. I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. For instance, they will have a lineup for Cavs Bucks over at BetOnline. There isn't one yet, but you can guarantee that they'll have one before that game. Right now, they also have Donovan Mitchell at 25-1 to win MVP. That is the 8th best odds in the league. Jason Tatum, if you're keeping track at home, is currently the favorite at 3-1. They'll have World Cup odds as that kicks off. They'll have all kinds of NBA awards features as well as these things come. Remember, that's BetOnline. That is where the game starts. All right, back here on Locked On Cavs, Chris Manning, Evan Dammer, last segment of the day. Evan, we're going to do quick hits on some awards, and I want to start with Kevin Love, Sixth Man of the Year, because I think if he's not like a favorite for this right now, he's in the race again. His cumulative plus minus, so like the amount of minutes he's been on the floor, how much are the Cavs outscoring teams when he's on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one player in the league that has a better plus minus than him in these minutes. Michael Pina pointed this out in his column the other day, so salute to him. But right now, Nikola Jokic is leading the league in plus minus at plus 112 in his minutes. Kevin Love is second at plus 103. Kevin Love has been, I think, just as pretty much as impactful per possession, and his points feel like they matter. Like that again, like we'll see if this holds. There are some other Cavs on this list. Like Dean Wade is 7th in cumulative plus minus, and Donovan Mitchell is 11th, and J.D. Osmond is 14th. And we'll see if some of these things hold. But I think Kevin Love is going to ultimately, if he's healthy, have another really strong case for Sixth Man of the Year. We're on that track again with him.
Yeah, and I'll gladly admit I was wrong. I thought Kevin Love necessarily wouldn't have the pop he did last season like he did this season. I thought maybe he'd slow down just because of age, everything else, and just maybe just was a weird momentum shift, and you kind of saw him cool off down the stretch. But he's the same dude. I think the Cavs have finally found a way to maximize his role, especially when they have an overabundance of big men on their roster. And I would be shocked at this point if he isn't like the clear front runner for NBA Sixth Man of the Year. I'm almost at MVP. Pardon me, but we'll see what happens. It's still a long season, but like you said, the plus minus aspect is interesting, especially when he's ahead of Donovan Mitchell. I was surprised by that, and like Dean Wade being ahead of Donovan Mitchell as well is also surprising. But like, Kevin Love's highly impactful. You can tell like that's what makes a difference. And also, to circle back to the first segment, if you're listening all the way to this point, makes sense maybe why the Cavs would want to start Kevin Love against Milwaukee, because he has such a positive impact on offense, and he can provide you a little bit of things, and just in terms of rebounding defensively, to kind of maybe balance out some of the defensive issues and some of the pressure Evan Mobley may face. And that's how you kind of build that momentum and just kind of get the ball rolling from there, pun intended, because it's basketball, and maybe steal a win against the Bucks.
How do you feel about Donovan Mitchell in the MVP race?
So by the time this publishes, maybe earlier, I'm writing something for Write Down Euclid right now about how he should be one of the early season MVP favorites. If it's not him, you can make an argument for Jason Tatum. You can make an argument for Giannis. You can definitely make an argument for Nikola Jokic to win three of them in a row, which is absolutely crazy to think about still. But I think Donovan Mitchell, just like in a new situation, it wasn't expected to be a seamless fit right away for the Cavs or him. And let's be frank, it's shown some of its warts at times too. But that early game stretch really gives you some optimism of what this Cavs team can look like when it's firing on all cylinders with him. And I think Donovan Mitchell's just kind of enforcing his style on this team, and they're adapting to it really well, and the Cavs in turn are winning, and statistically speaking he's averaging almost a triple double this season, so definitely noteworthy as well. I think he should be like a top two or three option for MVP, but again, we'll see how the season goes. You can make an argument for Jason Tatum, you can make an argument for Jokic, you can make an argument for a lot of players, but I mean, I cover the Cavs quite closely every day of the week. I've quite more often than some people probably should, and just watching Donovan Mitchell up close and just seeing him from afar too is just like, yeah, this guy's got the juice. Like, this is the guy for the Cavs this year.
I don't think I would have him like locked in a top three. I think Tatum I would probably have one. I think Luka has to be up there just based on the numbers he's putting up. I think Giannis is there.
Did Jokic stat send you your check yet?
No, I just think Luka's really good, Evan. I think Giannis and I think Jokic can be in there, but it's like a very tricky thing to, like, he'd have to like really like almost supersede himself to win three in a row. Someone else will probably manifest themselves. But like, look, if the Cavs win 50 something games and are a top three seed in the East and are one of the league's best teams, like, he will be, I think, probably the likeliest guy to get votes and get pushed. And I think that would apply to like all NBAs. Well, like, Donovan Mitchell has not made an all NBA team in his career. It would not shock me if this is the year where like he gets, like, if they win, the narrative could be like above 50 wins, he's been really good, catalyst for a lot of stuff, he's playing more engaged on defense. You could see him, I think, getting like some all NBA buzz. If you look at like guards and just cumulative plus minus right now, he's fifth. Like, it's Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, Grayson Allen, KCP, Mitchell, and then Curry, Steph Curry, sixth. Desmond Bain is seventh. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he's in the All-NBA discussion as well, maybe more legitimately than, like, the MVP discussion at the end of the year. I think eighth is probably low in odds, but I don't know if I'd have him, like, locked into my top three at this point. But it's still very early, and I feel silly stupid about this. Okay, last thing. I think, Evan, we have said this a bunch, so this is, like, the easiest one to kind of hit through. Watch him play defense. Watch how he switches everything. Watch how he covers space. Just watch how dynamic and effective he is in multiple different ways. I think this is like, I don't think Evan Mobley has had the consistent offensive leap you might have hoped for. I think that maybe holds him back from being in like the most improved player discussion at this point in time. But I think he's absolutely having an all defensive caliber season, particularly that Jared Allen has not been, I think, as good. And the Cavs still have, like, one of the league's best defenses, and now Jared Allen's out. And I think, like, obviously there's been, like, he didn't play well against the Wolves. That's fine. Overall, I think Mobley's been spectacular in defense. I think he's been the Cavs' best defender. I think right now, like, I would have him on kind of track to be on a first-team all-defense level this year. He's been that good.
Yeah, he's been really, really good this year, and I'm pulling up my favorite stat again. Out of 24 isolation possessions, Evan Mobley's only allowed 3 baskets this year. And that's just crazy, again, to think that a 7-footer is so comfortable defending in space like that. And he is so multifaceted, and you're hoping he can level up a little bit more to become more comfortable as, like, that true 5 for the Cavs at some points. But we'll see what happens. But he's just absolutely out of his gourd defensively. And maybe it's not Defensive Player of the Year stuff, because I did touch on Brook Lopez in the top segment, and just Giannis as well is going to be in consideration. But, like, all defensive honors definitely feel realistic for Evan Mobley. And Chris, as we get out of here, if you had to pick between Donovan Mitchell MVP, Kevin Love Sixth Man of the Year, Evan Mobley all defense, how would you rank it, like, in terms of most likely to least likely?
I think Love, six man, is one. Mobley, all defense, is 1A. Mitchell. Oh,
coward.
Yes, I am.
Just Mitchell, give it a 2.
Mitchell MVP is 3, but I would have Mitchell mix all NBA team above Mitchell MVP.
Okay, I'll accept that. I'd flip-flop your 1 and 1A, and I would just separate them as 1 and 2. I think Mobley making all defense is the most likely thing to happen. Actually, no. I'm going to go Mobley all defense, Mitchell all NBA, Love six man, and then Mitchell MVP. At least we'll see how the season shakes out. I think he's a favorite early on in the season. I think your argument for Luka is good too. Jokes aside to Nick, but yeah, it's an interesting thought process and also just kind of a cool way to look at it. Like, the Cavs are in a very, very fascinating place. A team has not been this loaded on both ends of the floor, I think, since maybe when Allen Iverson led the Sixers to the finals. And I mean, yes, they lost to the Lakers, but like, that Sixers team had every award wrapped up at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, MVP is just going to be tricky. It's like Tatum, Giannis, Luka.
Jokic.
Jokic is like, is at 28-1, which I think is just winning three times in a row is like really, 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 really hard.
I know voter fatigue is a thing, but come on, man. He's insane this year.
Yeah, but like, there could be some job buzz. Look what Embiid did the other night. Like, you could have like a lot of different outcomes there, and not very few of them would surprise me. Like, would I take LeBron at 151? No, but like anything in like Embiid and above on this odds list is like the top six. Like, you could tell me that there's an outcome where that's pretty likely to happen. Okay, we're gonna end there.
Wait, again, one last question.
Yeah.
Do you think Donovan Mitchell could win the scoring title? He's currently fourth in points per game right now. I don't have the totals in front of me, but Luka's one, Embiid's two, Tatum's three, Donovan Mitchell's four, then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's five, which would be a fun little get there. But
Luka is just gonna have such an absurd usage, and he's not even shooting well on threes. He's under 30% from three right now in eight attempts a game. Usage is just going to remain so high that I wonder if he's just like really hard to catch.
That's fair. I mean, that's a fair argument. I think like he's already might be able to, but
yeah, Tatum's at 31.9.
If he just scores 50 points per game for the rest of the season.
I mean, like, if he scores 50-plus a game the rest of the year and does what he did to the Jazz the other night, then, like, he certainly could win the scoring title. But Luka's just, like, Luka has such an advantage in some of these things because he's just going to have the ball in his hand what feels like every possession. The Cavs will see him twice in a week in a couple weeks, and I truly can't wait to watch some of that nonsense. It's going to be great. Especially the one in Cleveland, because like the Cleveland-Sylvanian population like always goes hard for Luka when he comes into town.
What could have been if LeBron didn't throw a game against the Nets, you know? What could have been?
Well, it'd be different.
Well, actually, that butterfly effect means the Cavs probably wouldn't get Donovan Mitchell because they have Luka Doncic.
I mean, maybe not, and probably not Evan Mobley either.
Yeah, that's
so.
It's a fun thought exercise, I guess.
It's Cavs what if, as so to speak. All right, that's going to end it for us. Thanks again for listening. Evan and I will be back Thursday recapping Cavs Bucks with a fun guest you can tune in for. Thanks again for making us your first listen every day. This episode was produced by Jake Stevens. For your next listen, check out the Lockdown Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey, at YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris. That's Evan, everyone. Be